Ave Maria. Welcome to Pro-Life to the Max, a weekly half-hour radio program under the patronage of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that is dedicated to keeping you informed on local, state, and national pro-life issues and efforts and inspiring you to get involved. Thank you for joining us today. I'm Rhonda Branham with my co-host Monica Seifker, and on today's show, we are continuing our discussion and storytelling from last week as we review all of the beautiful and amazing fruit that God has worked through the prayers and fasting of participants in 40 Days for Life campaigns held here in Bloomington. But first things first, let's start off in prayer. Heavenly Father, author of all life, help us to show kindness to all, including the weakest and most vulnerable among us, the unborn. Let us learn from you, who hast never failed to lavish kindness and mercy on all creatures. With enduring love, I take pity on you, and all the paths of the Lord are kindness and constancy. Kindness is, of course, love in action, so we beg you, dear Lord, to fill us with your love. You have told us that the greatest commandment is, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And only if we obey that can we truly obey the second, which is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. We ask your blessing, Lord, upon the pro-life movement as we work and pray for the day when all will look upon human life as a great gift from God, to be accepted and loved, and not as an unwanted burden to be destroyed. We pray fervently that all doctors and nurses will have the courage to refuse to assist in abortions, and that all who escort mothers in to have their children killed will be given the grace and wisdom to see that their support of abortion results in the violation and degradation of women and children. Please give the necessary graces needed for the conversion of all abortionists and their staff, especially those who work here in Bloomington. May they know the love you have for them, and may they respond to that love by repenting of their sins and find dignified and life-giving work elsewhere. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Let's go now to this week's In the News.
The House of Representatives in the neighboring state of Ohio has just passed legislation that would ban the vast majority of abortions in that state upon detection of a fetal heartbeat. House Bill 258 would ban committing an abortion on any preborn baby with a detectable heartbeat, except in cases of substantial and irreversible physical threat to the mother. Any doctor violating the statute would face up to a year in prison. Senate President Larry Obhoff says that he has the votes to pass the bill in the Senate, but that he has not yet decided whether to hold the vote because the bill has been opposed by Ohio Governor John Kasich. The nation's largest abortion provider, Planned Parenthood, has a new president. Dr. Leanna Wen has replaced Cecile Richards as the head of an organization that has seen its market share of abortions increasing dramatically nationwide, even as its health services decrease. Pro-life activists are quick to point out that Dr. Wen's new role goes against everything a doctor should be. They also point out the irony of how someone who hails from China, a nation notorious for its brutal one-child policy that has literally forced millions of women to abort their babies, could be selected to lead an organization that prizes the value of choice. Although the fall 2018 campaign for 40 Days for Life concluded this past November 4th, stories and statistics continue to come in from all over the world about the impact that the peaceful, prayerful presence outside of abortion facilities has in building up a culture of life. 592 mothers and their unborn babies were saved from abortion during this past campaign, and 9 workers left the abortion industry. Local campaigns saw an unprecedented level of persecution against faithful 40 Days for Life prayer warriors, which is regarded as a clear indication that the abortion industry is in trouble. The next 40 Days for Life campaign will run early next year from Ash Wednesday, March 6th through Palm Sunday, April 14th. Indiana University Students for Life is hosting its first Pregnant on Campus banquet on Friday, November 29th at 5:30 p.m. in the Liberty Ballroom. Guests will have the opportunity to participate in a silent auction and enter to win some great prizes, including Indiana University basketball tickets, as well as tickets for the Nutcracker. Dinner will be served at 6 p.m., followed by the inspirational story of young mother and Harvard Law School graduate, Brianna Williams. To order your tickets, go to eventbrite.com. That's eventbrite.com. Proceeds from the banquet will go toward the new Pregnant on Campus ministry that will help bring much-needed resources to pregnant and parenting students on the IU campus, including babysitting services, maternal and baby provisions, and school supplies. If you are unable to attend the banquet itself, a donation for this ministry is greatly needed and appreciated. You can email Students for Life at sflatiu@gmail.com. That's sflatiu@gmail.com to find out how you can send your donation. And that's your weekly In the News.
Okay, Monica, so last week we talked about the history of the 40 Days for Life campaign, both nationally and here in Bloomington, and about some of the blessings that have come from these campaigns. In particular, the opening of the Women's Care Center right next door to Planned Parenthood. So this week, let's explore how that constant, prayerful, and peaceful presence impacts the workers there at Planned Parenthood and the women going into the abortion facility.
Well, the main thing that needs to be kept in mind, Rhonda, is that our hearts should have a burning desire to participate in 40 Days for Life campaigns, not only for the moms and unborn babies, but for the workers themselves. And here's why I say this. Because they need our love, our prayers, and our penances on their behalf. I mean, just think of what they are involved in and how that has got to wreak havoc upon their very soul and dignity as a human person. Unfortunately, there have been few studies done on the effects that working in an abortion facility has on the doctors, nurses, counselors, and other staff. But each one of these studies point to a high prevalence of symptoms that fit the condition known as PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. And this list of symptoms include obsessional thinking about abortion, depression, fatigue, anger, lowered self-esteem, and an overall sense of uneasiness. Abortion workers experience frequent nightmares and images that cannot be shaken. And these studies, by the way, were all done by researchers who were in favor of legal abortion.
Yes, and Dr. Bernard Nathanson, former director of the world's largest abortion facility in New York, described abortion as a tedious assembly line, marginally respectable occupation that demands little from the doctor, technically or ethically. He said the deliberate destruction of a living, demonstrably human being is a practice anathema to all but the most morally unconcerned physicians and can justifiably be described as bearing low prestige in the medical community.
And Rhonda, we hear and read about how abortion workers themselves just dread being in social situations where the conversation turns to what line of work they are in. They often relay how they are loath to tell people that they work at an abortion clinic. So I think that tells us a whole lot right there. Referencing back to the opening prayer, we need to be there on the sidewalks to be the face of kindness, mercy, and love for these abortion workers. And Rhonda, there is a nationally known ex-Planned Parenthood employee who was the recipient of such love and compassion during her time spent as a director for a Planned Parenthood facility in Texas, where the very first 40 Days for Life campaign was held. Her name is Abby Johnson, and she is well known in the pro-life movement. Can you quickly recap her conversion story for us and how it was the love of the pro-life people standing outside of her clinic that allowed the grace of God to begin to work within her heart?
Well, for 8 years, beginning in 2001, Abby Johnson worked her way up the ranks at Planned Parenthood until she became a successful clinic director at the Bryan, Texas facility. During his time in prayer outside of this Planned Parenthood, Sean Carney befriended Abby with his friendly presence and his persistent words of truth and love. Then, one Monday morning in 2009, the abortionist asked Abby to assist with an ultrasound-guided abortion, which would be Abby's first. 8 years of experience would not begin to prepare Abby for what was about to happen. Here is Abby's account of the abortion. 13 weeks, I heard the nurse say after taking measurements to determine the fetus's age. Okay, the doctor said, looking at me. Just hold the probe in place during the procedure so I can see what I am doing. At first, the baby didn't seem aware of the cannula. It gently probed the baby's side, and for a quick second, I felt relief. Of course, I thought, the fetus doesn't feel pain. I had reassured countless women of this, as I'd been taught by Planned Parenthood. The fetal tissue feels nothing as it is removed. Get a grip, Abby. This is a simple, quick medical procedure. My head was working hard to control my responses, but I couldn't shake an inner disquiet that was quickly mounting to horror as I watched the screen. The next movement was the sudden jerk of a tiny foot as the baby started kicking, as if trying to move away from the probing invader. As the cannula pressed in, the baby began struggling to turn and twist away. It seemed clear to me that the fetus could feel the cannula and did not like the feeling. And then the doctor's voice broke through, startling me. "Beam me up, Scotty," he said lightheartedly to the nurse. She turned on the suction. I had a sudden urge to yell, "Stop!" to shake the woman and say, "Look at what is happening to your baby. Wake up. Hurry. Stop them." But even as I thought those words, I looked at my own hand holding the probe. I was one of them performing this act. My eyes shot back to the screen again. The cannula was already being rotated by the doctor, and now I could see the tiny body violently twisting with it. For the briefest moment, it looked as if the baby were being wrung like a dishcloth, twirled and squeezed. And then the little body crumpled and began disappearing into the cannula before my eyes. The last thing I saw was the tiny, perfectly formed backbone sucked into the tube, and then everything was gone. The uterus was empty, totally empty. The Holy Spirit opened Abby's eyes that Monday morning, Monica. A few days later, Abby resigned from Planned Parenthood and from the abortion industry with the help of Sean Carney and the 40 Days for Life team, who prayed for Abby for 2 years, showing her love and truth with every minute of prayer, fasting, and witness.
And thanks be to God for this incredible conversion. And yet I know Abby still suffers from the wounds of working in the abortion industry. And in case you haven't heard the latest, a major motion picture is coming out on March 22nd in 2019 that will depict the story of Abby Johnson leaving her job at Planned Parenthood and coming into the pro-life movement. This project has been quietly in the works for years, and the producers and writers of the film God's Not Dead have been working with the National 40 Days for Life team to get this movie made. So we look forward to hearing more about that in the months ahead.
And I'm sure we'll be doing at least one future show on this topic.
Yeah, I hope so, Rhonda.
Now, Monica, in our own little corner of the world, we may not have seen such a public and major conversion story as Abby Johnson's was, but we have been blessed to witness something that was still nonetheless quite remarkable and a testament to the power of grace moving in the hearts of some local abortion workers, haven't we? Yeah. Can you tell us about this extraordinary story as a result of the prayers and efforts of the 40 Days for Life participants?
Yeah, absolutely, and with great joy. Well, it was around the year 2014, and on a Thursday morning when one of the Planned Parenthood workers going in reached out to a prayer warrior and said, "Please pray for me. I want to get out of here." So we spread the word, asking for prayers on her behalf. Weeks and even months passed, and she continued to still come in to work. But she did begin to open up more to a sidewalk counselor, and we found out that she was a single mother to a young son. And she continued to work there at Planned Parenthood because the hours were so convenient and conducive to her life as a mother. She could be at home with her son when he got home from school, and she worked very little on the weekends. She was having trouble finding employment elsewhere in the medical field that could give her such ideal hours, and she really wanted a job in a doctor's office, but nothing was coming open for her. We could tell that this job was taking a toll on her there at Planned Parenthood. She considered herself a Christian, And I actually think that she was doing everything she could on the inside to help abortion-minded women choose life. She would also express her gratitude to us for being out there to offer women the help they needed to choose life. Well, she continued to ask for prayers so that a job would come open for her that she could take. Now, while this was going on, the manager or the director, I'm not sure of the title of the person, but right there at the Bloomington facility, she was really starting to give us a hard time. She was not happy about us being out there. She would often call the police at the drop of a hat for any little thing that she thought we were doing wrong, like stepping onto their property or blocking the sidewalk, all of which we were not guilty of. You could tell that our presence there was really just getting to her. So based on our conversations with the worker who wanted to get out and the reaction we were getting from this manager, we knew that things were in an upheaval inside of that building. Now, add to this the fact that there was a major remodeling job going on, and that too had to put a lot of stress on the workers because they kept the abortions going, never missing a week, even as the remodeling crews worked around them. Now, we on the outside questioned the safety of all of this as the entrance ramp looked so dangerous for clients going in, and construction, dust, and noise were a constant. It simply could not have been fun at all working under these conditions. But we continued our sidewalk counseling and our 40 Days for Life efforts, praying more intensely for the workers inside. And it was during the Lenten 2015 40 Days for Life campaign that things began to finally break. Now, this campaign saw one of the coldest and snowiest winters ever. This really made it difficult to get volunteers to stand vigil out there on the sidewalk, as you can imagine. So there ended up just being just a few souls who took the bulk of the hours. And the Planned Parenthood employees began to be moved by the dedication and sacrifices being made by the prayer warriors. We're talking about days on end with temperatures that were below negative 20 degrees with wind chills factored in. A couple of the employees began to stop and give us hand warmers because they were concerned for our well-being. I believe by seeing us out there in this frigid weather, their hearts were deeply moved, and it allowed them to be filled with a compassion that would eventually get them to start questioning the very line of work they were in. On one bitterly cold Friday morning during that Lenten 2015 campaign, the manager, the one who was so angry with us and who seemed to despise us, came out and headed toward one of the prayer volunteers. He told us later that the first thought that came to his mind was, "Oh no, here she comes. What did we do wrong this time?" And he braced himself for the standard sharp words that often flowed from her lips. But this time, she did no such thing. Instead, she handed him some hand warmers and said, "These are for you and your prayer partner over there. Please keep praying for this place. Pray for all the workers who want out of there." And well, naturally, he was stunned. And he came over to relay the news to his prayer partner. And this report encouraged them both to keep at it in spite of the bitter cold. So thanks be to God for the cross of those frigid temperatures, because all of this may not have come about otherwise. Prayers for all of the workers did indeed continue, along with the grocery gift certificates given to the original worker who wanted out, and an offer to update her resume to help her more quickly find a job. It took a few more months, but by the end of the year, every last employee who had been working at the facility during this time was gone, praise God. That worker who was the first to ask for prayers did end up finding a job in a local doctor's office, and she looked radiant and so much happier once she was out of that place.
1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in his great mercy has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." You know, Monica, this miraculous story just illustrates the need for us to be visibly present, praying at abortion centers, doesn't it?
It does.
And it shows how our response to inclement weather can be used to obtain very special graces for the conversion of hearts. When the weather is sunny and beautiful while we are out there praying, that's God's gift to us. But when it's nasty or not so nice out, well, our staying there and persevering in it is our gift to him and souls. We can pray the Canticle of Daniel, every shower and dew, bless the Lord. All you winds, bless the Lord. Cold and chill, bless the Lord. Ice and snow, bless the Lord. So let's move on now to how 40 Days for Life campaigns affect the clients going in particular, the abortion-minded women. Can you tell us about the fruits and blessings gained on this end?
Yeah, sure, Rhonda. Let me first start off by referencing James' epistle, chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Now, the reason I bring this up is to show that our prayers during these 40 Days for Life campaigns are not meant to be the end in and of themselves. They are meant to bring forth good works in us for the glory of God and for the salvation of souls. As you yourself can attest to, Rhonda, once you start praying outside regularly at an abortion facility, you are naturally propelled to do more and to start actually reaching out to the women going in, trying to help them and provide the resources they need in order to live righteously and to choose life. So the efforts to do this right there at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood started around 2013 and 2014 with a calling in our hearts to do sidewalk counseling. Now, our biggest concern was having the necessary resources available to the women coming in. We had the Hannah Center, which was a tremendous resource, but it was a couple of miles up the road, and women just simply did not want to take the time and effort to leave Planned Parenthood and then go a ways up the road. So while waiting for God's perfect time and bringing a pregnancy care center that would be very close by, we started looking into the possibility of getting a mobile pregnancy care unit down from Indianapolis to Bloomington on Thursday mornings. There were a lot of logistics to be worked out in doing this, but miraculously it began to take shape. Again, I firmly believe this was a result from all the prayers and sacrifices during 40 Days for Life campaigns. Now, Eileen Hartman, Linda Kyle, and Dave Bangs, all from the Great Lakes Gabriel Project, were instrumental in helping us get this project going. Eileen set up a training session for some Bloomington nurses, Maggie Garst, Linda Kyle, and Sandy Sluss, so they could do pregnancy tests and ultrasounds on board this mobile care unit on Thursday mornings. We also began to bring in outside help to train people who were interested in doing sidewalk counseling. As a result, Sidewalk Advocates for Life was started here in Bloomington in 2014, and we were one of the earliest locations in the country to begin this method of counseling, which has now spread to many cities throughout the world. This whole process was slow going. It was a struggle to get women to come on board or to even accept information from us. We had some successes here and there of women choosing life for their babies that would keep us going. We often said, if we even just save one life, it's all worth it. We often took these women, their children, and families personally under our wings and helped them in any way they needed, financially, physically, and spiritually. Over time, we became better at counseling, softer, more loving, and more Christ-like in our approach, and bolder in our desire to reach out to every woman going in. And this has resulted in numerous women choosing life instead of abortion. I know I have the names of many women and their unborn babies that we have helped, and they seem they're just etched in my heart. And I'm thinking of Dilma and Adriana, Hillary, Tabitha, Kamala, Vicky, Shanice, April, Hoywin, Molly, Katie, Jamie, Brianna, and so many others, all with their unique stories, telling how the grace of God is at work. Rhonda, I know you have your own stories to share as well in your time outside of Planned Parenthood as a sidewalk advocate. So let me stop right there and let you share one of your personal favorites.
One afternoon when I was sidewalk counseling outside of Planned Parenthood, one of the three entrances to the facility was closed due to building construction. A young woman pulled into the closed entrance, and just before she was forced to back out, I made eye contact with her. She drove past the Planned Parenthood and continued driving until she was out of sight. You know, at first I felt a sense of relief when she did not pull into Planned Parenthood and park. But about 10 minutes later, she was walking along the sidewalk across the street. I again made eye contact with her as she crossed the road towards Planned Parenthood. I stopped her just as she approached the sidewalk with two Planned Parenthood escorts right behind me. I no more than introduced myself when she looked down at a brochure I was holding that displayed the words, "We are here for you." She began to cry and said in a very quiet voice, "I want to go with you." As I walked her over to the Women's Care Center just next door, she told me that her family was against abortion. In her car, on her way to her abortion counseling appointment, she listened to Christian music in the hopes that God would help her with this most difficult decision. You know, our presence and words of love and truth outside of the Planned Parenthood helped this young Christian woman to choose life.
Yeah, that's just so awesome. One of my favorite save stories is from a couple who was bringing their daughter in for abortion counseling. When I arrived at Planned Parenthood to relieve my fellow sidewalk advocate, she was filling me in on this situation. The father of the young girl, who would be the grandfather of the unborn baby, was very hostile. He didn't want his daughter to have an abortion, but it wasn't his choice, he kept saying. You could tell he was in pain, and he was taking it out on everyone in his path. He kept coming out of Planned Parenthood to smoke while his wife and daughter were inside going through the standard 18-hour pre-counseling procedures. Being filled in on his anger by the other counselor, I nonetheless called him over saying, "I have a gift for you." I wanted to give him a miraculous medal. "Take this to her," I said to him. "Miracles have been worked through this medal." Now, he himself was a baptized Catholic, though fallen away, but he realized the importance of it. So he took it in and gave it to her, and then we all prayed. Well, after several minutes, they all came out and they all got in their truck, and he pulled up next to me as they headed out, and with a big smile on his face, he said, "You got your miracle." It turns out she's about 20 weeks along and can't have an abortion.
Okay, Monica, in these past two programs, we've been talking about all the many blessings that God has allowed us to see in this movement. So to give us hope and strength to keep going. But there are a lot of apparent failures and disappointments too, aren't there?
Yeah, there are.
There are many times when a mother whom we've been counseling doesn't choose life. When one abortion worker leaves, another comes to take her place. How are we to respond to the negative side of things?
Yeah, Rhonda, I think there would be lots of people out there ready and eager to do this ministry if all we had were a continual high ratio of success stories. But we know that this ministry is for our own sanctification as well, and that God alone knows precisely how and when to apply the graces needed for a soul's conversion. I had a priest tell me once when I was sorely tempted to quit doing 40 Days for Life that there are many Christians who are happy to do the will of God when there is success and all kinds of good fruit coming from it. But rare, he said, is the soul who remains steadfast in the will of God when it seems to bring very few or even no victories at all. We must always be wary of loving the consolations of God more than the God of consolations. And let me give one such example of a time that left me devastated and feeling like our efforts had failed. One Thursday morning, gathered as usual outside of Planned Parenthood, a gentleman came up and asked for help in reaching out to his girlfriend who was scheduled for an abortion there at Planned Parenthood that day. He was the father of the child, and he said it was funny because he was always pro-choice. Now, however, he was seeing things quite differently. He kept trying to convince his girlfriend that they could get married and he would take care of her and the baby. But she was too old to raise another child and her mind was made up, she said. He gave me a cell number and we kept in contact and prayed much. She ended up not going through with the abortion that day, just to have a little more time to think. We asked everyone we knew to pray for this couple. And the following week, lo and behold, who should walk into the abortion facility but this same couple, this time with the man sternly by her side. And it was heartbreaking. We had worried that he would not remain firm in his resolve to fight for the life of his child, and it turned out to be the case. Pressured by the friends of his girlfriend, the man caved into thinking that if he really loved her, he would allow her to make the best choice. It was hard seeing the couple go through the abortion and knowing that the life of that child was cut so short because of a false idea of what it means to love someone. To be honest, we do see a lot more failures in this ministry than that of successes. But it's a chance for us to build our faith, hope, and trust in a God whom we know is in control and will end this evil in His perfect time and way.
Monica, we are very close to the end of our time here today, so let me share with our listeners one final uplifting Choice for Life story that just occurred a few weeks ago during the fall 2018 40 Days for Life campaign. As usual, the Planned Parenthood escorts were swarming all around the women and couples going in for their abortion appointments, trying to prevent sidewalk counselors from speaking with the mothers and giving them life-saving information. One young lady from Kentucky pulled in, a passenger in a vehicle driven by a man. As she got out, she made eye contact with the counselor and accepted the blessing bag she was offered. The advocate thought she could read in her eyes that she was struggling with her decision to abort, and she asked everyone to pray for this young mother. Further conversations went on with the man who had brought her in, but again, he seemed to think it was her choice to make. About an hour later, the man came out for the final time, walked over to the counselor, and said, "Well, she's not going to go through with it." The man had tears in his eyes. And moments later, the young lady came out and they embraced one another for a time, right in front of the escorts. It was a very moving scene. They were filled with joy and left very happy. Praise God. Now, very quickly this week, we'd like to ask you to pray the first glorious mystery of the Rosary, the Resurrection, for every employee and person who has ever either worked there at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood or been a patron there. We pray for their conversions and that they may come to know truth and life Himself. Thank you for joining us today on the Pro-Life to the Max. And until next time, let us heed the warning of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe, that the most deadly poison of our time is indifference. Let's pray for one another that we may be consumed with the desire to save lives and souls, to give the greatest possible honor and glory to God. Ave Maria.
Ave Maria.